Find 1 Corinthians in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And our text is going to be verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through the first sentence in verse 31. If you're able to stand, let's do so together, and I want to read the Word of God in your hearing. We ask God's blessing upon our time together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through the first sentence of verse 31. Reads this way. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we need your help now.
Yes, help.
So please meet us as we look to you in your word by the power of the Spirit, and enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we may see and know not only what you say, but what you mean.
Yes,
that and grant us grace to obey you, that we might be all the better for having assembled here today.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So our subject for today is right thinking and using spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Right thinking and using spiritual gifts. Up to this point, you know, we've spent a few weeks learning certain principles, because the issue is always thinking, right? Action, right actions come from right thinking.
Amen.
So that's what we've been engaged in, and that's what we're going to continue to do today. We've learned that every Christian should be willing to serve the Lord with your mind and body.
Amen.
You see, we're not just talkers. We don't talk a good game. Okay, but it begins with right thinking. If you're not willing to make sacrifices, then when the test comes, you won't do it. Your mind has to be made up before the challenge comes to sacrifice, right? We've also seen that the Holy Spirit produces unity within diversity, okay, in the body of Christ. He made you all, just like all those body, those parts we saw for that vehicle. He can take all of those parts and bring them together and make one vehicle, right?
Yes,
and so the Holy Spirit, he knows how to take all of the people in the body of Christ and make us work as one, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to make little clones of ourselves. We want everybody to be free to be who God has made them. Because that's what we need. That's what's going to make us function properly.
Amen.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
We learned that in 1 Corinthians 12. We learned the issue with our mind and body from Romans 12. And then also we saw in 1 Corinthians 13 that the ministry of the use of our spiritual gifts is in order to edify the church, in order to build up people, has to be done in love. Right?
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13 says you're just wasting your time if you're trying to impress people. You're wasting your time if you're looking for praise, if you're doing it for some other motivation, if it's not love. Right? If you're not giving yourself away, then let the results be whatever they are, then you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Because for some, there'll be no we won't get any gratitude.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
The great gratitude will be when we stand before the Lord and he says, good and faithful servant. They didn't accept you down there.
Yeah.
They didn't even thank you. They didn't even appreciate what you, many didn't even know. But you were good and you were faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
That's it.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's what edifies. When people see
that you did it because you loved me.
That's yeah.
Amen. Not because of what I could do for you, but because you loved me, because of what you could do for me.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? And that's what motivated me to give myself away and not look for people to do something for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? The Bible says that heathens do that. Unbelievers do that.
Amen.
That's what unbelievers do. They go out and do stuff because they expect, if I do this, I'll get this flipped back on them.
Yeah.
No, we don't serve that. And then I want this to be very, very clear as we begin. The New Testament emphasizes the use of spiritual gifts, right? And it emphasizes the motives. In other words, the reason that you use your gifts.
Yeah.
That's what the New Testament emphasizes. Mm-hmm. The New Testament does not emphasize the details of what a gift is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope if you read your Bible, that's the reason you don't see a lot of you see the Bible will tell you about what this gift and that gift without telling you what it means. Because the Spirit of God will show you once you get involved.
Yes, sir.
It's much better to learn through experience than to just read about it and don't plan to do anything.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I want you to keep this in mind. A part of what we'll look at today is that, and you may have lots of different questions about what gifts are, and I'll talk to you about some of that, but I want you to understand that the Bible gives very little information, so we can't go beyond the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't good to sit around and speculate. If the Bible just says that this is a service that you do, then do it. And don't try to figure it out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't sit and wrangle trying to get all the details worked out. You see, we want to walk by sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says, no, you got to learn to walk by faith.
Yeah.
I'll show you as you go.
Yeah.
If I have to tell you everything before you go, that's walking by what?
Sight.
Walking by sight, okay? So, remember these. Fundamental truths as we look at the text today. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and these verses 27 through 31, I kind of broke them down and unpacked them this way. We're going to be thinking about the body of Christ.
Yes.
And then we're going to be thinking about spiritual gifts. And then we're going to be thinking about using spiritual gifts. Now, I know you wondering, why are we thinking so much? That's what the Christian needs to do.
Amen.
Think.
Amen.
God gave you a new mind. It's a renewed mind. And so it needs to be filled. See, it's no different than those of us who abused our body before we were saved. You know, once you're saved, your body has to be renewed. You have to do things differently, right?
Amen.
You have to shake loose of some of your lungs and everything. The system has to clear out, right? Some of that junk we used to feed in it.
Yeah.
And so our minds need to be renewed.
Amen.
We used to think wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got to learn to think what?
Right.
Yes, sir.
We've got to learn to think right.
Mm. So that's the reason I keep pushing this thing about thinking, okay? I'm not here just to spoon feed you.
Come on, brother.
I'm here to simply help you think.
Come on, brother.
It's my job.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm not here to cheerlead you, to make you feel good.
Uh-huh.
Whether you feel good or not is irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
If you think right, and if you know how to live by the way you think, then we're good.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
You see, I can go on to glory, and you'll live. You're going to live, and you'll teach other people to think right, you see? And they'll know how to live until Christ returns.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Our job.
Yes, sir.
Okay? To take these renewed minds and use them, right? So, let's begin. Taking a look at verse 27, as we think about the body of Christ, the first statement that I make here is that we are collectively the body of Christ. We are. And so, this is important. Each local congregation, the Bible refers to as the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is important. So you can't simply think that Trinity Community Church is a part are a piece of the body. We are. Now, we aren't exclusive. I'm not saying that. But it's just like that car right there. You don't look at that car and say that's a piece of a car just because there are lots of other cars. You say that's a what?
A car.
That's a car. We are a church.
Amen.
Okay? Now, we know that we are part of the universal church, mm-hmm. but we have to think properly about ourselves, mm-hmm. lest we start functioning like we're some fragmented piece of a group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. He says, you are, did you see that? Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
He's talking to the church at Corinth. Mm-hmm. You are, all right? So each local congregation is the body of Christ with everything we need to function as a church. You got to get this now. It's just like that car again.
Mm-hmm.
That car, though there are lots of other cars,
yeah.
that car has everything it needs to function as a what? A car.
Amen. Amen.
We have everything we need to function as a church.
Uh-huh.
Got to keep that in mind. You got to remember that. The church was present in Corinth centuries ago, and the church is present right here in Ellisville in the presence of Trinity Community Church right now.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the building.
Mm.
It's irrelevant where we gather.
Amen.
The church doesn't go to church.
Well,
we are the church
Amen.
Wherever
Amen.
We go.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
That's it. He said, now you are. He wasn't talking to a building.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, building, you are the church.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Yeah. He's talking to who? Talking to people.
Yeah.
They good?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that to you and to me. You are the church.
Yes,
man. Right here
uh-huh.
in Ellisville. Just because that happens when we, that just happened where we happen to be when? Right now.
Yes, sir.
Right now. And we are the ones who physically represent Christ on the earth. This is a tremendous privilege.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Think of it. With our lifestyles, with our past, God says, I got all that covered under the blood.
Yeah.
With all that you've done, you still can represent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just like Moses was a murderer, I still called him.
Uh-huh.
And Abraham was a fearful, timid man, and with all, we don't know a whole lot about his history, but he's a sinner just like every other sinner.
Amen.
And I chose him.
Amen.
Sarah was a sinner just like every other sinner. And so was Rebecca. And so it's that's not the issue.
Yeah.
Even Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
You know Rahab's name. Rahab is referred to in the scriptures as the what?
The harlot. Amen. Amen.
Even after God has brought her into the family, she's referred to as Rahab the harlot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just to identify. That's her earthly. It's not so much her reputation as that's how she was identified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So our past doesn't dictate our usefulness in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Once He brought you in. Isn't that good?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
So we represent Christ on earth. Secondly, we are individually members of the body of Christ. You see that look at the second phrase in verse 27. He says, first of all, he says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, right? Individually. Now this is important too. Regardless of your age or your gender. This is particularly important for children, and for younger Christians. Let me say, younger Christians are just as much a part of the body as someone that's much older. Okay, you don't become a Christian by age.
Amen.
Okay, and a woman is just as much a part of the body as a man,
uh-huh.
just because the roles are different. It has nothing. I mean, certainly you can see that with the car and its parts, right?
Amen.
It wouldn't be, you wouldn't have various parts if everything was the same.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
But it takes it all to make up
the car, or in our case, the body.
And so each individual, regardless of your age, your gender, your race, your status in life, each individual believer is a member of the body of Christ. Now, here's the other thing I want you to remember. Each believer also has a responsibility to function in the church the way Jesus intended. Yeah. Remember when I talked about the instructions with the car?
Mm-hmm.
That car works right when it's assembled and used per the instruction.
Amen.
Okay? So Jesus is the one who knows how best to assemble a church and how it works best.
Yes.
That's the reason we don't need to argue and debate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We, each one of us, needs to find my place and do it with all my heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when I do it with all my heart, the body works.
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
If I'm a slackard and lazy and procrastinating, I'm affecting the body.
Amen.
That's right. Every one of us needs to remember that. You can't say it's just me and my business. It can't be that way if you're going to be a part of the body.
Amen.
You know, it's no different than your appendix or your kidney. Say, it's my business.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't want to work today, it's my business. No, not in the body. And so that's what God wants us to see. You can't take that kind of attitude.
Amen.
Here's a couple of sentences I wrote for myself, and even though I didn't jot them there, I want you to take note of them. Listen to this. No single church member, or in our analogy, no single body part, has any significance apart from the rest of the body. Okay, now you think about it. No single body part or no single church member has any significance apart from the rest of the body. Let me give you an example. If you take an eyeball, or let's say you take my eyeball, one of my eyeballs, and you place it on that piano. You take one of my ears, and you place it on this table, or one of my feet, and you put it back there on the table. You could walk in this room, and you could say, there's an eyeball, there's an ear, and there's a foot. But what does it mean?
Yeah.
I don't know who it belongs to. I don't know what it's supposed to, why is it even here?
Yeah.
Why would you expect to walk in a room and see an eyeball?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it has no significance. Mm-hmm. But now you put that eyeball in my head, mm-hmm. you put that ear on my face, you put this foot on my leg, then you say, oh, that's really.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
That's the point.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
No single body part, mm-hmm. or in this case, no single church member. So you're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you run around, you're too good for churches. You know, you no church is good enough can handle you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a deacon, an usher, a preacher. You know, mm-hmm. you Mr. Miss Important.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hang out here and you can't do nothing but TV shows and radio shows and this and that. You can't associate yourself with anybody. Well, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
People look at you and say, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're no different than any other entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
The way I recognize you is that you are a part of somebody's church.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, this is very important. You need to really be careful with people that don't submit to any church.
Mm.
Mm.
That's a rebel.
Mm.
God never designed a Christian to operate outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't care how important they are.
Mm.
Billy Graham was a member of a church. And so you got these mavericks that are out there running around. They're too important. That's no different than an eyeball that's too big, that's too important for your body. That's the point. It has no significance, okay? It has no significance. The second sentence is this. No single church member can survive apart from the rest of the body.
Amen. Amen.
See, there's no significance. And you're right. Let that eyeball sit there. What's going to happen? You'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Or that ear or that foot.
Mm-hmm.
So you let that maverick church member hang out there. They may look good to the world, but spiritually they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were intended to be a part,
right,
of the body. You were intended to submit yourself to the very structure that Jesus says I'm the head of. And if you're too big to be a part of the structure that he says I'm the head of, then you're too big.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's some practical examples. You know, people have oversized hearts and, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get that taken care of, that heart will eventually kill you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these things are very, we understand these practically. It's the same in the church,
mm-hmm.
right? We heard this morning. Don't get these exaggerated thoughts about yourself and your self-worth and your self-importance. You see, it's going to kill you.
Yeah,
pride mm-hmm. goes what? Before destruction.
Yes, sir.
You can't avoid that truth. You got this?
Amen.
I got to move on. Thirdly, God selected and placed members in the body. I won't read this. But when you look at the fact that we're individually members of the body, later on today, go back and read verses 12 through verse 26. That's the point he's making there, you know. I can't say to the foot, I don't need you, or the other hand. You see, that's the whole idea. You can't do that. That's, I mean, you got that much common sense when it comes to your natural body. God says, surely you ought to be able to see that in the spiritual body. Okay? And so here, the point I want to make is that God selected and placed members in the body. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. You see that? Look at verse 24. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. And then finally, verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles and etc. So my point is that God has done this. God has selected and placed the members in the body. The makeup of the body, or the makeup of the members, has been carefully designed by God himself. See, sovereignty, that our little congregation, don't you take it for granted.
Amen.
God has carefully brought it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to prove it to you. He's carefully done this. That's the reason we don't need to go around comparing it. See, that's the reason I shouldn't be comparing my body to your body. Mm-hmm. God said you were what? Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't try to be like me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whatever frame he gave, don't try to make that frame like my frame.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the foolishness that's happening all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to look at a picture,
Amen.
And you're going to look like that picture. How?
Uh-huh.
People making millions and mega millions and billions of dollars by putting a picture in front of you and say, you can look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And churches are doing the same thing. Seminars. You want to look like my church? Here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing at the sports club. And you see, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You do it with the natural body, people are doing it with the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
God says, don't compare yourself with yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want to compare yourself with somebody, compare it to Christ.
Amen.
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 Look at him and see how you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so the makeup has been carefully designed by God. In other words, no one member here is here by chance.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how you came. See, that's what our issue. Oh, if you only know how I came, that's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you believe that God is at work
in
all things,
yes, sir.
It's irrelevant how you got here.
Amen.
The fact is, you what?
Yeah. Amen.
That's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
He did it. There's no luck. There's no chance.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
No. It can't be. You can't have sovereignty and luck. Right? You can't have chance and sovereignty. All the other thing is, but I got my free will.
Come on, brother.
How's your free will greater than God?
Work with it.
God takes obstinate men like Pharaoh and say, I'm going to use him to do my will.
Yeah.
So surely he can take somebody like us and use us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
So don't get into that whole free will kind of thing. I'm not talking about God treating us like robots. You know I'm not talking about that. It's just that God knows how you think.
Amen.
God knew Samson was a womanizer, and he used him as a womanizer.
Yes, sir.
Right? Uh-huh. God knew Moses was a hothead, and he used him as a hothead.
Yeah.
Right? You don't fool God. You can fool me. You can't fool him. Right. He knows what it takes to get you where he wants you to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank God.
He knows what it takes.
Amen.
And so nobody's here by luck and chance. God, and here's what I want to prove to you. Listen to me. This is my sentence. God is at work in our minds, in our thoughts, in our meditations, affecting our decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You ever read Philippians 2:13?
Yes, sir.
For God is at work in you both to will and to work. His good pleasure. God is at work in you. He affects your will and he affects, he gives you the power to do what he says to.
Uh-huh.
That's how you do God's will. Mm-hmm. He changes your mind and then he says, I'm going to give you grace.
Come on.
Carry that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's all him.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason you can't boast.
Come on, brother.
That's the reason you can't run around saying, I chose Jesus. But I chose him. No, you chose Jesus after he chose you.
Right.
And after God worked in your mind and said, you need Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. You chose him. There's a whole lot went on before you chose Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you didn't know it doesn't mean it wasn't happening. You know how you were. And in order for you to get to where you would choose Jesus, something had to happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. When I love partying and when I love this, and something had to change me for me to say I want Jesus and I love him.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
It's still happening.
Yes.
All the time.
Because
even after I'm saved, I got all these things I love that ain't right.
Amen.
And he's still at work, working out his will.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's peace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Trust him.
Yeah.
You will get, if you're willing, God will, that's a John 7, I believe it is. God will reveal his will to those who are willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You think about that.
Yes, sir.
What good is it for him to reveal his will to you if you're not going to do it?
Uh-huh.
But if you're willing to do it, then he'll show it to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's good news.
Amen.
In these troubling times. And the thing is, I know I'm not going to get done. The thing is that Jesus says, this is my church.
Yeah.
Right? My church and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church.
Yeah.
Jesus claims Trinity as his own.
Thank God.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. That belongs to none of us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the peace that we have.
Yes.
That's the confidence that we have. We're his. And he's working it out. We heard this morning. He'll add whenever he's ready to add. You don't have to get the ring in your hand and wondering. That's God's business. Just do what everybody just do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
God will add.
Amen.
Isn't that peace?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't get over there messing with his business. Just stay faithful and he'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll do it. All right? And then the other thing I want you to remember is that God organized the body orderly and with purpose. You may not have ever seen this before, but I want you to notice this. The functions, the ministries, and these special abilities of each member in the body of Christ is carefully designed by God. Okay? Carefully designed by God. Every ministry, every spiritual gift has a specific purpose and an orderly design. I want to show you. The reason I've got this here is I want you to see where it came from. Look at verse 28. You see how it says, and God has appointed in the church what? First, as order. God has order and design. The apostles came along first. Then came what? Second, the prophets. Third, teachers. You get that? Then, you see the order?
Yeah.
That God has order.
Uh-huh.
It's no different than that cart. It'll say step one.
Mm-hmm.
Now some of us knuckleheads don't care about instructions. Yeah. So we just, I can figure this out. And you jump, we skip a step or two, and when we get done, it don't work. And we try to figure out what went wrong. Well, the problem is that I didn't follow the order.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The person that made the thing knows how to put it together.
Yes, sir.
And so I trust, I lean to my own understanding, and I wound up with a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I'm mad with the man that made it. Right?
Yeah.
Same way in the church. We create a mess and then we're mad with God. Why is God doing this? Why can we, and simply saying to us, and sometimes, you know, you ever made something and realized, I got to break this down.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tear it apart because I left something out.
Yep. Yeah.
You ever done that?
Yeah. That's the time. Yes.
And it's the same in the church. Sometimes God has to tear it down.
Mm.
Because it wouldn't build right.
Amen.
I mean, we see it all the time, practically. We get so shocked when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Can't get around God.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how much it costs. Doesn't matter how much money you invest in it. If it was wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You buy these. Bookcase, these things that have all these parts to it, you know, at some of the store, you know. I mean, you can bring it home, it's got 100, 200 parts to it. And you get done, and the very important one, there it is laying on the book.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter how much time you spend in it. If it's put together wrong, you can't expect it to work. You're going to have to break it down and go back and do it right. Same way with the church. You got it?
Amen.
All right. God has order. All right. Now, so that's thinking about the body of Christ. Then I want you to understand spiritual gifts. And you remember what I told you? There's a couple of these I'm going to have to give you a lot of detail about. That's because the Bible gives a lot of detail. But some of them the Bible didn't say anything. And you know, when the Bible doesn't say anything, what should we do? Okay, so don't you get all frustrated because I mentioned your favorite one and didn't say anything, all right? But here's the deal. We want to follow the priority of the Bible. You see, I spent all that time telling you God has a priority. We need to stay with God's priority,
mm-hmm.
not your favorite gift.
Well,
stay with God's priority.
Amen.
Then you'll be right.
Amen.
It'll keep you functioning right, all right?
Yeah.
So, you notice at the end of verse 31, I mean at the first sentence in verse 31, earnestly desire the higher gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's purpose. And yours may say greater gifts. I don't know what your translation says. It's the same thing. In other words, God says some gifts are higher or greater than others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it mixed up. Or as I said, don't get it twisted. Don't get it mixed up. Keep it straight. Some of them are higher than others, and when you get it twisted, churches get messed up. Churches get messed up. So, I want to begin with the priority that the Bible gives, okay? You may not have seen this before, but if you haven't, just take note of it, and we may not have time today, but we'll talk about it next week. So, in the early part of verse 28, we have listed the higher gifts. The first three gifts, or functions, if you will, are listed in both their historical order and in the order of their role. Here's the important thing.
Yes.
In edifying the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the important thing.
Yes, sir.
God plans for the church to be edified when we come together.
Amen. Amen.
Not for you to show your ass and to show how great you are. No, God says, my church needs to be built up. They don't need to look at you.
Amen.
Hear how good you do this and see how... That's foolishness.
Yeah.
How can we help anybody by them
in me and us. You know, it's really tragic.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening.
Amen.
It's almost as if we want folks to envy.
Mm.
You come and flash it so you can. You say it's distracting. That's what God says. Christians, don't do that.
Amen.
Don't wear that kind of stuff. Don't do that around my people because I don't want them being distracted on you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's foolish. And we all know.
Amen.
Because you know how we were when we go to the party. You remember how we want to make sure that we get that win. Late? Why we want to be late? Some of y'all get there. I ain't heard. I don't know you then. You get there early. Why we want to be late?
When we
walk in, we want folks to know what? I'm here. And people take that same philosophy in the church.
Amen.
Personally, I believe that's the reason a lot of we just need to rethink some of this foolishness.
Tell the truth.
Okay, so the issue is that the church needs to be edified. You got it?
Yeah.
And so these first three gifts are revealed in the order that they come on the stage in history and in the order of their benefit in edifying the church. You got it? Okay. Apostles is the first one. You see that in verse 28? And God has appointed in the church first apostles. Now, here's the deal. There are specific requirements to be an apostle. You can't just claim to be an apostle. You know, Apostle John in Washington. And I'm not being critical. But all these people just attaching this name, this prefix on your name. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's foolishness in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
God says, I appoint apostles, not you.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's got a requirement. First of all, 1 Corinthians 1:1, you have to be called by God.
Uh-huh.
See? You can't call yourself and appoint yourself an apostle.
Okay.
You have to be called by God. 1 Corinthians 9:1, let me look at that. I'm drawing a blank. 1 Corinthians 9. Oh, you had to have seen Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You have to have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So, how is anybody, and I know we got this foolishness going on today, but there's only one that saw Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, there's a number that saw him after the resurrection, but none saw him after he ascended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the exception of Paul.
Uh-huh.
But Paul was the late apostle.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But the Bible makes it very clear. On that road to Damascus, Paul saw Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus called him to be an apostle, but he was an apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so you don't play with this thing. And also 2 Corinthians 12:12 says that apostles had signs. There were power, it worked mighty miracles.
Yeah.
These signs validated the fact that God has called you. The power of God works through you, you see?
Yeah.
All this foolishness going on today.
Yeah.
You don't have to fake a miracle.
Come on, brother.
Everybody saw when this cripple. That's the point. God, you know this man was blind.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, why don't you have somebody open and blind their eyes today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
All this foolishness with these. You know, and I'm not being crass, but that's a lot. They even expose it on TV now.
Yeah.
Because it's so foolish. You see, it's discredit. It's shameful to the name of Christ.
Yes.
Because this is legitimate. This is real Christianity here.
Yeah.
If you follow my pattern, that's what God is saying. And the apostles proclaimed and taught and recorded direct revelation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Acts 2:42. They all were devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, right?
Mm-hmm.
The apostles' teaching, breaking bread, prayer, right? So it was the apostles that brought that teaching. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is what? Breathe out from God.
Yes.
From God.
Yes.
Okay. So God gave this direct revelation to them and he said, that's me speaking.
Uh-huh.
So don't you go to Paul's letters and say, well, Paul was a bigot. He was a this and that. What? How can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How can you pick out your favorite things and dismiss ones that you don't like when God says, all scripture is breathed out from me?
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
That which you like, that which you may not like.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. 2 Peter 1:20, no prophecy is of a man's private interpretation,
amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But men of God were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, this is not a thing to be played with.
Mm-hmm.
These were the first ones on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
These were the ones first sent to build up the church. They need my church needs the truth, and I'm going to make sure that's how we got the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Through these men.
Yes.
Okay? Through these men. Y'all got it?
Amen.
So these were first.
Amen.
Secondly, you see in verse 28 is prophets. And the prophets were men that verbally revealed the will of God and the purpose of God in specific situations. And in that text I got right there, 11:27, mm-hmm. Acts 11:27-28, there were some prophets, I believe, that came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, right? And one prophet's name was Agabus,
mm-hmm.
right? And Agabus prophesied that there was going to be a famine. And it was. Why? Because God told him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These prophets were used to reveal God's mind and God's will in specific situations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very important verse right here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. Ephesians 2:20. For all of these people that are running around claiming to be apostles and prophets today, Ephesians 2:20 said that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Mm-hmm.
You think Jesus is still building the foundation?
No.
Mm. That's done.
Amen.
You don't need apostles and prophets anymore.
Mm.
Now, we have the gift of prophecy, but we've been over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have the gift of prophecy doesn't mean you're a prophet.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
One is a position, is a role, is a function.
Mm-hmm.
That function is done. We don't need to lay the foundation anymore. So we don't need apostle so-and-so and apostle this one. That work's done. And the irony of it is that you still have people thinking that God's still giving revelation
from
heaven. Bible is not enough. Bible is not done. And you got Christians rolling right along with that. Ooh, that's deep. Ooh.
Yeah.
Something wrong with this thing. But that's what happened, you see. It's what happens if you gotta think clearly with the renewed mind that you have. You good?
Yeah.
All right. Thirdly, teachers. Teachers are men called and gifted by God to teach the apostles' doctrine. Now, women don't get shaken. These functions that I'm talking about this is not the gift of teaching. Men and women have the gift of teaching. Men and women teach. I'm not talking about that. This is a particular function and role in the history and the building up of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For example, have you ever seen this verse in Acts 13:1? I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you're going to ever have to talk to people about biblical teachers, this is what I'm talking about with this function or this office. Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. All right. Now look at who they are: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. What gender are those?
Amen.
Now that shouldn't surprise you. These are leadership. You see, I'm not talking about just someone who's teaching a class. The teacher, it's just like the evangelist. Unfortunately, that word just casually thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
These are fundamental functions and roles in the history of the church, okay? So you just gotta be careful not to just take on a title and assume that you are, you're just like this person here or that person here. Okay? You understand? That's what I meant before when I said when we use titles, if we know what we're communicating, that's okay.
Amen.
But we need to make sure we understand what we can be using the same words and be talking about two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And of course, then you find teachers in Acts in Ephesians 4:11. God gave these gifted men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right?
So you should know right away what gender those are. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and those gifted men.
So we don't treat these functions, these roles, lightly. Okay,
we'll move on kind of quickly.
So now you, hopefully now you understand why I call the following gifts the lesser gifts. You notice that he says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then the word what?
Then.
See? He stops counting because those are the higher ones. The next ones are what? The lesser ones. Okay? Don't get it twisted. Leave the high ones where they are.
Amen.
Now, this doesn't mean that these aren't valuable. It just says don't flip this around and start exalting the ones that are lesser. Keep the fundamental ones where they are. These are essential. A teaching is essential in a church.
Amen. Amen.
Tongues or not.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Now, I'm not one of those pastors that believe that tongues are temporary and miracles are temporary. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's just as available to us today mm-hmm. as it ever was.
Amen.
It's just that the issue is it needed? You see?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's needed, God is free to do whatever he wants to do.
Amen. Amen.
But don't you start trying to show off in front of people.
Well,
and you got churches that are breeding that's a culture, you see? Not only do you want folks up standing up before you showing off, you want everybody to show off.
Yeah.
You see, that's the problem. It's a problem. So these are the lesser ones. Miracles and gifts of healing. This ought to be obvious. These gifts are given to address physical and spiritual illnesses and other needs. That's right. That's when you need a miracle. I need a miracle when I got a serious need here, right? I need God to do something. And that's wonderful. But I don't make a whole church service about miracles.
Amen.
And that's exactly what's happening today. Mm. We're having a tent meeting.
Mm.
It ain't about preaching. It's about miracles.
Amen.
See? That's what I'm saying. It's twisted.
Mm.
That's the big draw. Come and get your miracle. No matter how you live.
Mm-hmm.
Just come and get your miracle.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I ain't told you nothing about living a holy life.
Amen. Amen.
But come get your miracle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your Bible might say helps or helping. ESV says helping. Special abilities from God to understand and assist people in need. This is one of the ones. This is the only place in the Bible this word is used. So you can't go somewhere and say, "Ooh, I wonder what that is." That's it. That's all it says. And what I just told you here is the meaning of the word. The word means to assist. That's it. God says, "I give people special abilities to discern people's needs and go in and help." No more. That's it. He didn't tell you anymore. Let's do it. If he shows you something, if you discern it, hey, use wisdom.
Amen.
But know that God gives you special ability. Administrating, God gives certain people this special ability to steer and guide the church. Then you need to be in leadership in the church. You see, this is the only place in the New Testament that this word is found. Right here, what we're looking at, verse 28. So you can't go somewhere else and see, I want to learn more about this. That's the only place. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. And then finally, various kinds of tongues. Now, I don't have a lot of time to spend here, but just know this. Tongues are literally languages, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tongues are languages. It's just a way of, the Bible will talk about feeling things in your bowels, okay? I mean, it's just a way of portraying what you feel. The tongue is what you use to what? Speak. So these are languages, and I'll talk. We may have a little time in Bible study to talk about that. But these are spontaneous and unlearned languages from the Holy Spirit, okay?
Now, you know the irony of this is much like today. Tongues was the exalted gift at the Church of Corinth. And it's the exalted gift at so many churches right now. You got entire denominations that make this the test. You notice where God puts it on the list? He's trying to teach these Corinthians something. And he's trying to teach you and me something. And the church is still missing it today. You will still be judged by this, by so many Christians. And I'm not judging them. I believe there's some that really love Jesus, but they've just not, they got it twisted. Just like this. See, and here's the thing. Paul didn't give up on these Christians just because they had it twisted. He loved them. He says, I'm going to get in and I'm going to help you. That's what we got to do. That's what don't judge people. You know, you had to be brought along. Somebody had to take time with you. You need to do the same. I'm just trying to help us all think properly so you can help someone. You got it?
Amen.
Okay. And so, in fact, what God's doing here, Corinthians, you exalted tongues, what did God do? He humbled. He humbled. All these people you got up in front of the church, they need to sit down. Let the teachers get up there. That's what you need to hear is teach.
Amen.
Yes.
You see?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you may not feel good after, but
Amen.
You'll be a better Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Than learning to speak in tongues. And by the way, that's the other thing. If somebody tries to teach you to speak in tongues, you say that is not biblical. It's of the Spirit. It's spontaneous. You don't know when you're going to speak. That's the thing. It's just like working a miracle. You can't. That's the reason you can't schedule a 10-meeting. You don't know if God's going to work a miracle or not. How is it that you can schedule a 10-meeting and always know exactly when God's going to work a miracle?
Right.
Keep that. Not if it's of the Spirit. He's God, not you.
Yeah.
Y'all get this?
Amen.
You got to think when you see these things.
Amen.
Okay. And then thinking about exercising or using spiritual gifts. The truths that you see in verses 29 and 30 basically say that no spiritual gift dominates the church. You notice how he words it. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess the gift of healings, do all speak with tongues? That question needs to be asked in a lot of churches today. Do all speak with tongues? Because in a lot of churches the answer to that would be what? Yeah. And is that the answer that the Bible is looking for here? Absolutely not. Just as he's not looking for everybody to be an apostle. That's his point. These are, what is it? These are rhetorical questions with obvious answers.
Yes, sir.
The obvious answer is what? No. All are not apostles. All are not prophets. All are not teachers. All do not work miracles. All do not possess the gift of healings. All do not speak in tongues. And neither do all interpret. And so the answer to these rhetorical questions is obviously no. And so this means that that there is no spiritual superstar. So don't make him one. Don't make me one or anybody else one. There is no spiritual superstar. Period.
Amen.
You got it?
Amen.
Now that we all need each other. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we don't need the gift that we bring, but nobody is to be exalted.
Amen.
And no particular gift makes a person spiritual. That's what Paul has been getting at with Corinth. You have made speaking in tongues the test for whether somebody is spiritual or not. And it's happening right now, today. There's diversity. And interdependent. That's the way God designed it.
Amen.
That's the plan. That's the point. That's the point. And then finally, he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts.
Yes.
And this word, earnestly, zelo, that sounds like our word. Can you think of a word that we might get from zelo?
Zealous.
Right? That's where we get the word zealous. It's the same thing. You see? It means you're striving after, you're pushing after, you see? You exert yourself. That's what zeal means, right? And so he says, strive after what he calls the higher gifts. And I already kind of introduced you to that early on. Higher gifts means the ones that best edify and build up the church, not the individual.
Amen.
And Lord willing, we may look at that in chapter 14. Mm. That's the whole point of the early verses in chapter 14. Mm. Everybody good?
Amen.
Okay, let's try to wrap up. Motherhood, I thought about this. You know, motherhood in our culture is becoming less desirable. Mm. When I say our culture, I don't just mean in America. You know, there are countries that actually pay mothers not to have babies, right? You know, and now you got countries where the population have fallen off so much, like France and different places, that they're now actually paying women to have babies. You shouldn't mess with God's plan and His design. Motherhood has become less desirable in our culture. It's considered the lower road. Yeah. Now the higher road is you discovering your career, your professional career. Now I'm not saying, obviously you know there's nothing wrong with a woman pursuing her professional career. But you don't do that to the demise of motherhood. Right? Motherhood is frowned upon by many of the high roaders and the professionals. Yet the fact is, not a one of us would be here.
Amen.
If our mother hadn't considered us more important than herself. Not a one of us would have a family if a mother hadn't considered the family more important than herself. And I'm not even talking about a mother necessarily being a Christian. I'm not talking about it. I'm just talking about plain old reality. Is that somewhere along the way, regardless of the circumstances, that mother had to decide, I'm going to have this child. Regardless of the consequences, you see, I'm going to consider this worthy. This child is worthy to be brought into this world, regardless of what they say about me. And in some situations, women had to take some harsh words to be a mother. The same, though, is true in the body of Christ. We must always consider the good or the benefit of others rather than only our self-benefit. The church cannot survive if each one of us is going to only be self-motivated and only concerned with self-interest, you see? That same principle that you see in a mother has to exist among members if the church is going to survive. Mm. Mm. That's a fact. And don't get that flipped over either. The Bible says that humility is actually the high road.
Amen. Amen.
Right? The humility is the high road in the kingdom of God. We must always consider the good or benefit of the church, not simply personal benefit. We must consider the progress of the gospel and not simply our personal sacrifice or even loss. So then, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think with me for just a minute as we close. Can you have confidence that God has selected you and placed you in Trinity Community Church? Now, we've talked about Corinth. I'm not talking about Corinth anymore. Can you personalize this and say, I'm here because God wanted me here? Are you confident that we have spiritually gifted people right here in our congregation to make us a fully functional church without waiting on somebody else? Can you function as a church now
without sitting back and twiddling your thumbs and waiting for this one to come and that one to come? Are you confident that you are a member of the body of Christ here and that we need you as much as you need us? I hope that you will consider these truths and these realities and then commit yourself to strive after, you see, zelo. Commit yourself to strive after ways that build up other church members. Commit yourself to earnestly look for ways to love and edify Christians that live in your home. Don't make that the last place you look for to edify and build up. Commit yourself to look for ways to build up the Christian that sits behind you and the Christian that sits across from you. You see? That's what we talk about. We talk about real Christianity. Jesus loves his church. You believe that?
Amen.
Yes, he does. He proved it because he suffered and died for his church. And he didn't give it to any of us. It's still his church. You believe that?
Amen.
And there's no better plan than his church. So let's love and serve Jesus as we love and serve one another. And if you're not a Christian, let me just conclude with this. You need to know that there's only one way to become a member of this body that we're talking about. Right? And Jesus says that I am the only way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You can't come to the Father unless you come through or by me. You must believe that Jesus is your Savior. You must believe that he suffered for you. You must believe that he died for you. You must believe that it's all finished because he rose and he's waiting for you now to come to him. You must believe. Father, thank you for grace, mercy, truth, your help in times of need. I thank you for helping me to get through this confused teaching. And I pray, Lord, that you would order our minds, our thoughts, and our hearts, that we might see clearly what you're saying to us as a church. I pray for the tender heart now that's wrestling with you or with the gospel. And I'd ask you to save right here in our midst, Lord, to save someone for your own glory,
yes, Father,
for the good of their own souls. And and then we just thank you that we can trust you to add to our number,
yes,
as it pleases you.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's bow together and take